When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Cabinet have banned household visits after a soaring number of cases of COVID-19. 232 COVID-19 patients currently in hospital, 30 in ICU. We're wondering, can our hospitals cope with all of this? And joining me now to discuss this is the HSE's Chief Clinical Officer, Colm Henry. Colm, I suppose one of the questions people want to ask you every time we speak to you is how close, or can we even tell how close we may be in the hospital system to becoming overwhelmed?
Well, hospitals are accustomed, every winter we see flus, we see surges of respiratory illness, sometimes beyond what we experience in usual winters. So hospitals are accustomed to having surge plans, and those surge plans affect how they manage acute beds, affect how they manage intensive care beds, affect how they manage discharge to the community, and so on. So there's nothing new in the way hospitals approach this. So they're approaching the coming COVID figures as we see them translating through the positive figures and the increased number of people in hospitals in this exactly the same way as they have in previous winters. How will we manage our acute beds? How will we manage our discharges from hospital? How will we relate to the communities in order to facilitate early discharge? And how will we manage our intensive care stock? So at this, we are investing and working closely with local management in each hospital setting so that those effective surge plans that they put in year after year are adapted to this COVID surge at the moment.
I suppose there is a small difference though because of the potential for exponential spread of COVID, that there could be a doubling of figures maybe as it speeds up, could be every 3 to 4 days. We've heard figures like that, and we wouldn't see that necessarily with the flu. We wouldn't see that certainly with non-contagious illnesses. So we could go from 30 ICU people to 150 ICU people in 15 days, let's just say. Are we modelling those kinds of levels and still thinking we're OK?
Well, we're seeing that right across Europe. We're seeing in the past 7 days, there have been 100,000 new cases per day right across Europe. We're seeing curfews imposed in France and other highly restrictive measures imposed in European cities. And this underlines the fact that the single most robust line of defence is not critical care beds, is not acute beds. It's our individual behaviours, the sum of our individual behaviours, which add up to the total of our community response. That is the single most robust defence. And I can't sit here and tell you, Ciarán, this morning and pretend that if that line of defence is overrun, that there's a healthcare system, not just in Ireland, but across Europe, that would be able to withstand unmitigated surge in cases of COVID. There is not.
OK, and I suppose that's reasonable because no health service could be able for that level of a tsunami. So that is fair enough. The restrictions that have been brought in, do you think that they are the right ones? Obviously, we've moved to level 4 for the border counties. The rest of us, we remain sort of on level 3, but we have the added things around now, household restricted visits. They're not allowed to do them except for compassionate or essential reasons. Are they the right moves whilst still keeping the outdoor facilities of cafes and restaurants and bars open?
Ideally and preferably, we'd like everybody to take responsibility for their behaviour, and the sum total of those individual responsibilities would add to a vast community effort that we saw back in March and April. Unfortunately, the deeper you go into this, the harder it is to turn this ship round. And that's where we are now, not just here, but in other countries. The slight advantage we have here, as we've always had, is there's a slight lag between our experience and the rest of Europe. But we can see again in Europe, and I know I keep referring to that this morning, the same experience, those surging cases translating to hospitalizations, translating to intensive care usage, and translating tragically to death. Could I just add, Ciarán, you did ask, we have surge plans in place, including for intensive care beds. When I say it's not our line of defence, I mean that. But if we get increased number of cases, what our hospitals do is they curtail other activities. They plan additional critical care capacity outside conventional intensive care units. And we can protect such a surge up to and including about 350 beds. Beyond that, a surge beyond that, we can't provide the same quality of care. And could I just assure listeners, in that first surge in March and April, we saw mortality figures in our intensive care rates about half of those of other healthcare systems, because we were able to contain those who need critical care within those conventional units. We don't want to go outside those units.
We don't, but we did see us obviously succumb the private hospitals in the first wave. Is that on the cards for the current, I suppose, phase?
Absolutely. We need the private hospitals. Not the same deal as the first time. We need a more individual deal to address any potential surge.
But we could access them as needs be, if needs be?
If needs be, we can lean into additional surge capacity in our public units with our own public staff, our own expert staff that we've trained, recruited, employed and so on. In the private hospital system, there are facilities, there are acute beds, there are elective facilities. They're very good at efficient elective work, and we can lean into that for those people, because the challenge, Ciara, is much greater this time. It's not just clearing the decks and pretending healthcare is only about COVID.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because yesterday on the show we spoke to Brendan O'Shea, who's a doctor and associate professor of general practice in Trinity. And he said that he, in his view, NPHET shouldn't be called NPHET. It should be called the National Pandemic COVID Health Team rather than just Health Emergency Team, because he said the concentration has been so focused on COVID. We are seeing things like cancer, you know, diagnosis being delayed or missed and things like that. We've obviously heard stuff in the news about cervical screening in the last day or two as well. Are we getting the balance right between obviously the significant risk to our health as a nation from COVID, but whilst protecting our health against other issues that haven't gone away?
Well, Ciara, we're both doctors. We can see that the overwhelming threat of illness for which there's no cure and for which there's no vaccine. But both you and I will know and will have met people who said, thank God my test is negative, and ignored something else which is non-COVID related, potentially serious. So our primary care or GP community has been very strong on this with us in my regular engagements with them, is please don't develop a diagnostic tunnel vision. Please don't let the healthcare service develop just along COVID lines. And we're not doing that. We reopened our services. We've reopened cancer. We've reopened screening. We're striking
a
very
difficult
balance now, much more difficult than April.
Though.
We have a backlog. The challenge now is much greater than April. And the challenge is suppressing that curve, addressing COVID, but addressing all those people whose treatment was curtailed or suspended during that time of lockdown.
And Colm, just maybe lastly, breaking news this morning from Wales. Wales has banned people from England, from high-risk areas of England, entering Wales. Should we not be considering doing something like that with Northern Ireland? I know the border is a political issue that is very sensitive, but if Wales can say no to England, and if we are looking at rates in areas like Derry of 1,000 cases per 100,000 people, like that is multiples of our highest levels of cases here. Should we not be considering pragmatic responses to this pandemic?
I would prefer, I come from a border county myself, Ciara.
I know you do.
And I would say that I would much prefer the issue of curtailing transport across the border. We're talking about communities here, not just communities who are defined by a border. So I think people there...
I think people in the UK, Wales and England would see themselves as having that same commonality.
They would, but what I would say is... The focus of population measures in COVID is to look at communities, is to look at how we can reduce transmission within communities, not necessarily using the border as the reference point for restricting those movements or for trying to break down transmission. It's breaking down transmission within the community, and that community might cross a border, but it's still a community, and we want to break down transmission wherever those communities are.
Lastly, and very briefly, over 1,000 cases last night announced, but 5 deaths. The trajectory of deaths remains very different in this second wave to the first wave. Is it going to continue like that? I know there are concerns it could climb, but it is a different, there's a different relationship now between deaths and cases than there was, say, in April or March.
If I could explain, Ciara, there's a lag time difference. Even the outbreaks we're seeing in nursing homes, we're discovering them earlier. Back in that terrible experience in that first phase, we first became aware in residential care settings where people became ill or they were dying. Now we're becoming aware incidentally through healthcare workers or others who are testing positive contacts and then doing sweep testing. It's not too late. My message to people this morning is the Irish phrase says, Tanyat agin air. We have power over it. We still have power over this. We still can turn this. It's getting harder to turn the deeper we get into it. We can still do it.
Listen, thank you very much for speaking to me this morning. That is Colm Henry there, the HSE's Chief Clinical Officer.